she wrapped, the technician wrapped up a boy or a girl doll, and he's going to donate the other one to needy family, and then Christmas morning, the girls are going to open it up. Well, Emily was in the kitchen yesterday. McKenna decided to take that job on herself and open it up. So we're having a girl. So that's, some of you have been following that, and I just wanted to share that this morning. So. Would you please bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity to join with our church family and bask in Your service this day. Father, I feel Your Spirit very strongly at this time. And I thank Thee for that, that we live in a country that Your Son can sacrifice it all and for us. And we're so thankful to celebrate this joyous time of His birth, and that our families can reflect and thank Thee for that. We ask that You'd be with these people and bless the money that they give up this day. We love You very much, and we thank Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everyone, this is a special day, and Christmas doesn't usually fall on a Sunday. It does every once in a while, but there's a lot of families doing family activities today and opening presents and stuff, so we didn't know for sure how many people would be here this morning, and those that are here, we welcome you and greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose birth we traditionally celebrate today. Today is going to be a little bit different service. We're going to have some hymns and some songs and some people sharing. So hopefully you'll be ministered to as we share this morning. For a scripture reading, I would like to share with you from the book of Isaiah, one that you probably all know by heart. It's from Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there is no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This morning we're going to be singing some hymns, traditional hymns and different ones, but I've asked people, some individuals, if they would share what their favorite hymn was, and then we would sing it. So, Angie, I'll bring the microphone to you, and she's going to share with us what her favorite hymn is, and we will sing that.
When Dan asked me what my favorite Christmas hymn or carol was, I mean, it's hard to decide, and I gave him a couple. And then this morning he asked again, and I gave him one, and then I called him back and says, I'm going to do O Little Town of Bethlehem, because it was never my favorite hymn. But this year, it's my favorite Christmas hymn. And part of the reason was, in our women's department this year, we've been talking about you know, trying to prepare our hearts for Christ and giving our hearts to Him. And anytime I'm leading a song service or anything like that, I always tell people that it's important to pay attention to the words. And I think maybe this is why this wasn't always my favorite. I don't know, maybe it's the tune that wasn't my favorite. But this year, part of our Christmas program for the women's department, this hymn was used, and the words just really struck home to me. And I'm going to read some of them just so that when you sing it, maybe you'll pay even closer attention. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And part of the third verse, how silently, the wondrous gift is given. There weren't billboards and stuff all around. It just was a real quiet, still night that night. And God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. He freely gave His gift. And the last verse, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
And that was hymn number
113.
And remain seated for the singing of this. And Brother Adams, would you open us with an invocation following this? 113.
Father, we pause a moment bow our heads and give you thanks for these people that have gathered in your name, that as they share their gifts and talents, may you send your angels to be with us and your wonderful spirit, that as they share these gifts of voice and music, and that we can open our hearts up even wider and let you in deeper. Be with them and guide and direct them in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Bell Choir is going to share now. Thank you. David's going to share with us. I've asked Hannah what her favorite Christmas carol was.
When he asked me, I said that was a really easy one because we got married on December 23rd, and one of the songs we had at our wedding was "O Holy Night," and that's just a constant reminder to me that it's not just about Mike and I, it's not just about ourselves, that we always need to have God with us, and that it's about Him, and as long as we have Him in our hearts and in our lives and in our relationships, that we can get through anything. And obviously we've been really blessed this year with Madison, and we're so thankful for that, and we're just so thankful that He was born, and He came, and He died for us, and that He loves us so much and gives us the things that we ask for and that we desire, like little Madison. And it's just such a good Christmas. Thank you.
It's on the insert that I passed out, so Peggy will play it and you will have the words that you can sing along.
Thank you.
years ago, as I was thinking about the Christmas story and, you know, the account in Bethlehem, you know, I got to thinking, you know, there were some events that took place here in the Americas also at the same time. And I asked Sister Linda if she would write something for us, if she'd ponder that and put in her own words what might have been taking place over here in the Americas. So she wrote something, and Brother Vance is going to share that at this time.
I don't normally appreciate when people ask you to close your eyes while they're doing something up front. So this is going to be a little bit out of the ordinary for me. I would like for you to do that, to close your eyes while I read this, and let the Spirit just take you and give you whatever images the Spirit gives you while I'm reading this. I, Nephi, the son of Nephi, knew that the coming of Jesus as a baby was at hand. Great was my excitement, for I knew and believed that his birth would come about. There were even signs before the birth. Great signs and miracles that happened to show us what was about to happen. But some believed that time prophesied by Samuel was past, and they rejoiced, saying, "See, we knew it would not happen." They had gone astray from God, so much so that they jeered the believers for still looking for the greatest sign, that there shall be one day and a night and a day, as if it were one day. And there was no night, even as it was prophesied by Samuel the Lamanite. And so they, the human unbelievers, took it upon themselves to murder their Christian brothers and sisters, being so bold as to set a date for this miracle to happen. And when it didn't happen, they would kill all Christians among them, women, children, men. They wanted to destroy the believers. When I heard this, I was shocked. How could a human being, anyone, kill innocent people? I made it a matter of mighty prayer. I wept. I fell to my knees and lifted my arms up heavenward and cried mightily to the Lord on behalf of the innocent Christians. Do you hear me, Lord? Have I put a stumbling block or sin that will cause you not to respond to my pleading? I know you hear me, and I pain from the bottom of my bowels and groan. Oh God, my God, my Redeemer, my all. Oh, awesome God, I beg, I plead. I come in the name of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Please, have mercy on your children. And I continued all day praying for the innocent. Toward sunset, a voice. The voice of the Lord came to me and said, "Lift up your head and be of good cheer, for behold, the time is at hand, and on this night shall the sign be given. On the morrow come I into the world to show unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of my holy prophets. And behold, the time is at hand, and this night shall the sign be given. And so it was fulfilled, even the words spoken unto me by the Lord, as I had prayed mightily on behalf of my people. And it came to pass that there was no darkness in all that night, but it was light as though it was midday. The sun did rise in the morning again, according to its proper order, and we knew that it was the day that the Lord should be born. I rejoiced, praising and thanking the Lord for saving the people. O my Lord, how merciful thou art.
On the insert, there's a song, Samuel Tells of Baby Jesus. Peggy, you'll play that through, and then we will sing it.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy's going to share on the dulcimer. We're flexible. Didn't give him a lot of notice, as I'm noted for sometimes, but I asked Brother Joe if he would bring us some remarks this morning, whatever the Lord has placed upon his heart.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay. I'd like to thank everyone who's participated to this point for really setting the stage for what I believe the Lord has been placing on my heart. Makes my job a lot easier when I know that the people are primed and ready to receive what the Lord has for them. I apologize if I'm a little quiet or look a little disinterested today. I woke up this morning not feeling the best I have recently, but, you know, I'm toughing it up. I'm honoring my obligation to come and bring you the Word of God. When Dan said he didn't give me much notice, he called me Tuesday. Usually when he calls me, I expect about a month or two to prepare. And when he called and said, will you bring a message this Sunday? I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I can do that. And I know that last Sunday, Karen provided us with an excellent a review of what the Christmas story was and what it actually is versus what it isn't and what's tradition. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time going into that, but we all are aware of the accounts and that prophesied for many, many years before the event actually occurred that the birth of our Savior would come under these conditions and in this place, and everything that was prophesied, of course, as we know, came true. Christ was born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem. The star appeared for those, as we know, in the Americas who would eventually come to seek him. But the thing that I want to talk about, and maybe present it in a little different fashion, is that there came a point where none of this could have mattered. God did it once. He could have done it again. The Lord that I know could have provided another virgin to be bearing a child under those same conditions, to be bringing the child forth into Bethlehem, to be born there. He could have done it again. But he didn't have to. And I wonder at what point in Christ's life he recognized the circumstances under which he had been born and the circumstances which made him claimed to be our Messiah. I wonder how old it was before he had that revelation from his father to know that the rest of my life is building up for one glorious moment. There's a song by one of my favorite groups, Reliant K, and one of the lines in that song is, "From the first time that you opened your eyes, did you realize that you would be my Savior? And from the first breath that left your lips, did you know that it would change this world forever?" And I keep going back to that, because Christ came to earth to be born of man, and he was man as much as any of the rest of us. That being the case, was Christ somehow keenly aware as a young child? Because I know that when I was a young child, all I did was, you know, cry, eat, poop. But I wasn't conscious of any of it. I have a terrible memory anyway, but everyone I've talked to, none of them remember the first 3 or so years of their life. And knowing that, and knowing that Christ was a man as well, I wonder if he was under the same conditions as we were. But I do know that whatever happened, and whenever that revelatory moment was, about 30 years later, it culminated in him declaring his messiahship. In him declaring that he was, in fact, the Son of God sent to save us from our sins. And all of his life, whenever that preparation started, he'd been preparing for that moment to begin declaring his gospel to us and declare that we were no longer supposed to be bound by our sins, but that we could be free. But the only way we could find that freedom was through him. And as he began proclaiming that gospel around the Jerusalem area, enough people who I guarantee were alive the time the signs were given, still didn't believe him. And ultimately they decided that he was a heretic, that he needed to die, that he was not the Messiah. But by doing so, they walked right into prophecy. They fulfilled the prophecies which had been given about the end of his life. And that the prophecies regarding the beginning of Christ's birth, I would submit to you, did not become relevant until those final prophecies had come true. Because until he had been crucified and rose again, he had agency just like anyone else here. He could have chosen to live his life like a normal, average person. Could have chosen to live it the way I do, and constantly making mistakes and having to start over. But he didn't. And in the end, that's what separates him from us, was that he lived his life perfectly so that sinners like us could have a way to do so. The Christmas story doesn't end at the birth of Christ. It doesn't end whenever the wise men finally find him. It doesn't end after Mary and Joseph take Jesus and flee into Egypt to save their child's life. It ended when Christ ascended into heaven. and we get a chance to partake in that Christmas story every day of our lives by offering up our sins to the one who is holy enough to take them. That Christmas story continues on with each of us every day. Because the birth of Christ was for us. He provided a way for us to come into the presence of the Father. And in that, we can be made perfect. It's not much, but that's what I feel the Lord has been placing on my heart this day. Thank you for your attention.
You got another one, right, Peggy? Notes to some of these people. I want to thank you for being here and sharing this morning. And for a closing hymn, I will share one of my favorites. And I think we sang it last week, but I like to hear it. I've heard it several times on the radio. It's 123, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It, to me, it's a song of hope and one that we really need this day in which we live. For we live in a world that has often lost their hope. And this tells us that we do have hope in that one whose birth we do celebrate. We will stand for this. And Brother Von Cannon, would you bring us a closing prayer? Okay. 123. You stand.
gracious and kind Heavenly Father, it has been so good to worship with Thee. And Father, our words cannot express the joy, the thankfulness, the gratefulness, and the mercy of You sending Your Son to save us. For Father, we need to be saved. Heavenly Father, I pray and ask a blessing upon all those who are here, that the Spirit of Thy Son, Jesus, might burn in their hearts. And that, Heavenly Father, as we have taken this day and set it aside to remember Thy Son and the beauty of the birth, we pray that we would share this love with all that we meet. And that one day, Heavenly Father, we might be the people, we might be the people that You want us to be. So bless these, my brothers and sisters, and these things I pray in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.